Welcome to the ASVAB Domination Podcast, where we help you crush the Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery, also known as the ASVAB, in order to achieve your dreams of serving in the United States Armed Forces. I'm your host, Mickey Gaminol, and I'm excited to share my years of experience and expertise in ASVAB preparation with you. In each episode, we'll dive deep into test material, strategies for success, and insights from military veterans and experts. Whether you're a high school student considering military service or a seasoned professional seeking to advance your career, this podcast is your ultimate guide to mastering the ASVAB and achieving your goals. Let's dominate the ASVAB together.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. This is Mickey Gaminol with the ASVAB Domination Podcast, and today I have the one, the only Clay Lamar, also known as Big Marwan, the Resource King. Clay and I go way, way back. We were in Peace Corps together, and he was actually a groomsman at my wedding pretty recently. And yeah, he is a learned man. One thing I always knew about Clay was that he was one of the best at Arabic out of our entire group. He's one of the few that came to Morocco who actually knew a word of Arabic before joining in. So that was a separate group, and he was very good, and he's still very good at Arabic, but he has done many other things with his time since then. He actually lived in, where'd you live? What country was that?
Mauritania, Peace Corps 2.0.
Yep, Mauritania. How many years did you do in Mauritania?
4 years, on and off.
Yeah. So he did 4 years in Mauritania, and now he is getting his super big fancy degree from Berkeley.
Yep.
So, and he's killing it. He's killing it. He's a great, great student. He's always been good at studying and killing it. And now he also was a tutor for ASVAB with me for a good, probably 6 months-ish.
Yeah.
And so, and he did really well. The students loved him. He was a good teacher. He was one of those math teachers that teaches you how to do math without doing math in the classical sense. Like, a lot of it was using logic. I remember specifically watching one of Clay's recordings where he told the students, like, hey, don't be fooled by this. You don't have to do all this algebra stuff. You can actually find a way to process of eliminate this. You can find ways around the test. So he was a very test hacker kind of teacher, which is great because we're teaching to a test. So if we're teaching for principles or whatever, that might be a problem. But if you're teaching just for an outcome on a test, that's amazing. Like, you can't do better than process of elimination in some of those skills. So Clay Lamar, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. All right, man. So let's just get started. Have you always been a good student? Was that a correct introduction? Do you think that's accurate? No. What's your relationship with academia?
Well, currently, yeah. So you got it right, Mickey, in part.
Okay.
I'm doing my PhD in history.
Okay.
At University of California, Berkeley, as you said. But no, I haven't always been a good student. In fact, I mean, it's mostly like passion driven at this point. But growing up, I never really saw myself as a good student. So it's, yeah, I mean, I think at the time that I was working with you, I was a classroom teacher, you know, 9 to 5, first year classroom teacher, 9 to 5. And we would spend evenings together working on ASVAB stuff. And it was, yeah, it was great. It's like a breath of fresh air working with adults who were very committed and like vision focused rather than students required to be there. And yeah, it was a really nice contrast for me. But I would not consider myself to be
an academic.
I just stuck around too long.
I got you. Yeah, no, I completely agree. I kind of got into this business. I definitely felt the fire of doing ASVAB prep when I realized, oh wow, this test will change lives, right? And like, the people are here in this classroom hoping to change their life. And so I completely relate to that. That's why I still do it, is I love to see people who are on a different trajectory than they otherwise would have been on. You know, some folks are out there getting their commission, you know, they get their, they're now like first lieutenants in the Navy because of the ASVAB preparation that we did together. And so that's always like a really positive thing. Whereas teaching, and no disrespect to teachers, I studied as a teacher too.
No disrespect. It's
very hard to be a public school teacher. And especially I'm sure where you were at, I don't think I talked to you as much while you were going through it, but I would imagine you felt kind of the same brunt of that. You were in a public school as well?
Yeah, public school teaching.
Yeah. Okay. Then that's perfect. So what are some of the things you noticed in the time, right? They were about hour-long sessions. I think I already had the lessons prepped for you guys for the most part. But what did you get out of it? Like, what kind of vibe were you picking up in those ASVAB sessions?
Just like, I know you, I mean, thinking back, I mean, this was 2 years ago.
Two or three years ago. Yeah. Something like that.
The students were just very like driven. I think I mentioned this in a way that I wasn't used to seeing. So that's great energy to me. You know, you're in a classroom all day long and you're fighting an uphill battle, you know, to gain interest, traction, attention. And you had students who were working with you that, you know, were working their own 9 to 5, you know, at the gym doing whatever it was that they had going on in their lives. And they were excited to be there getting it done. And they knew why it was important. So, they were only hour-long sessions, but it was really incredible to see that, like the drive, right? And the intent in being there. And from like an instructional side of view, it made it so much easier. You know, it's so much easier to meet students where they're at when they're ready to be there and they're showing up, you know. And I guess that was why I took a lot of energy out of it. You know, you come home after teaching all day long and you're a little tired and beat down, especially during, I mean, those were COVID years that we were working at. First year COVID years in person, it was just rough. And then you show up and you work with ASVAB students who are just really motivated and honestly interesting too. So yeah, it was great. It was, students out there who are doing it, you know, it's, I don't think there's any like set story. I just remember how very different the students were that we worked with.
Yeah, they were usually about 4 to 5 in the group, maybe a little bit more, but never more than 10 for sure.
Yeah.
I completely agree. But I would challenge you on this. So those students, and I think you can agree with this, most of them were good students and they were motivated and it was an enjoyable class to be through.
Right.
But at some point, because the ASVAB is considered to be a K-12 test, right? So at some point, they probably weren't the best students. They had to have not been the best students. If they were the best students K-12, then they would have passed the test without any additional tutoring and they wouldn't have had to lean on that so much. So right. What do you think the juxtaposition is, for a big word there? What do you think is the reason that made them kind of change their mentality? Or how do you think they went through that transformation?
Well, to me, it was like, to talk about juxtaposition, for me, it was like making the test transparent. You know, we weren't doing algebra. You know, we were eliminating numbers that were too high and too low. We were crossing off A and D, right? We were down to B and C, and then we were looking at it. And that's not algebra, you know? Right. And working with your students, it was pretty clear that, I mean, it was transparent that we were working on the test. We were not working on, you know, we weren't working on being a good or bad algebra student. That really wasn't what was going on. And it was refreshing to see how much that clicked. I mean, you know, I'm working with, yeah, you know, in comparison, in contrast with the students I was working with, we were all there with a purpose. And when we got answers right, which we did, you know, it's just a matter of talking through and creating like a test-taking mindset and working our way to the point where we knew we were getting right answers. I was really energized. You know, it was contagious. You know, the energy was high. People were excited. They were happy to be there. And we were doing what we needed to do and getting it done. So
I like that.
Yeah. I don't think it was. Yeah, I really don't feel. I mean, it could have been. And, you know, I was teaching, you know, at the same time, I was teaching math, you know, 5 days a week, you know, like I had to do for an hour and a half every day. So maybe there was crossover in terms of content. And I remember we were working on our skills. We were doing long division, you know, I think there were no calculators, right?
Yep, no
calculators. That math section, no calculators. So we were doing long division, and that's not hard, you know. Even for me as a grown adult, you know, doing this thing, I had to teach myself how to do that over again, you know, and it's not easy, you know, but it really all that it takes is just sitting down and figuring out where, you know, I mean, even then I was making mistakes, and you just have, you know, you have to sit down in front of it and figure it out. And once you do, you've got it. Hopefully, you know, you can move forward with the test. So,
yeah. No, I think that's one of the biggest things is people get caught up when they feel like they should know something because they've learned it in the past, and then they can't move on, right? I think people run out of time on this test all day long because they're like, I should know long division.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
What advice do you have for somebody who's going through something like that? Because I guarantee you there are people listening to the show who are struggling with the ASVAB. I mean, the title is ASVAB domination. So for those folks who aren't getting the scores that they need, like what kind of recommendations would you give for them? You know, outside of paid tutoring or outside of anything else, what would you recommend for them?
If you're struggling to get the results that you want, I mean, I get that's really discouraging, you know, especially when you've got so much more going on in your life, and this is like a necessary step to the next, you know, to where you want to be. I can see that being really discouraging, you know, and I get it, you know. I struggle myself with standardized testing, you know, and I'm the kind of person you were just describing me. I'm the kind of person who wants to get long division. And I've got a 20-minute section on this test that I'm going to spend 15 minutes on one problem because I'm determined to figure out how long division works. But this isn't the time for that, you know?
Right.
You need to move on to the next thing. And I think that's what you're teaching here is it's really not what the test is about. You know, you think it's about skills, but really at the end of the day, it's just about getting the best score that you can get or even meeting your students where they're at. And just getting the best score that they can possibly get, right? And that's only through, you know, time management, process of elimination, passing through the test the first time, going back over it the second time, not wasting your time on that 15-minute long division problem that you need to get because you feel like you've forgotten something or you just thought you had it, but you didn't quite get it. You know, it's like, it's that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, tests aren't easy, so...
Did you have to take any tests for Berkeley or for any of your other schooling? Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's your experience?
Same time we were doing ASVAB. I mean, it was fun. It was fun working with you doing ASVAB. At the same time, I was taking the Praxis test. I think
for Colorado.
Right. Yeah. And that wasn't fun to study through. You know, it was like all the social studies. It's like. I was studying like planets and stuff, and it's like I got no clue what Mars is, you know, or like I don't know this, but you it's just a matter of I don't know. I think you know you have to be honest with yourself and like give yourself allowances, but realize that it's a test and you know work through it to get. And so I got it. Yeah, I got the certificate. I'm Praxis certified. I don't see myself using that anytime soon, but you know, it's
what about so
you block out the hours and you study for it. And I remember this, you know, it was like talking with your students before and after the sessions, it was just incredible. You know, like people would be coming to the sessions and it'd be like, yeah, I just did like an hour and a half workout for I imagine, you know, you gotta maintain some kind of level of fitness. And it was just like,
yep.
Wow, you know. Yes.
Especially the people actively serving for sure. Cause they would have bosses coming on the, you know, coming down on them and stuff like that. And then they would go to the gym after that. And then they would come through for a session. And yeah.
And then you have something, I'm sure you have this 30-minute session. You know, one of your students, I remember one of your students was driving to work, you know, and we were doing a session. And it's just like, of course, you know, like the commitment was just, it was amazing, you know, doing the best that they could to be there for that, despite all the demands that were going on in your lives. And I really, I mean, when it comes to taking a test like this, it just really is, you know, that's the grit that it takes to, you know, learn these strategies and test taking techniques. And for people like me who struggle with standardized tests, you just have to take them multiple times, you know, until you get familiar with how the test works. And, you know, it's like, I've done it all, you know, like GRE was the last one and I'll never have to do it again. That's a graduate record exam or something like that. You need it for, it's becoming less and less, it's getting phased out, but you've got to test at least 5 times. And every time you take it, you get better at it because you know what the test is doing. You understand the logic of the test. And you know, it's like, if it's not a lot, you still see that score is improving every time because it's got its own little thing going on. So,
yeah, test taking familiarity is pretty key for sure. And these tests are different, right? The GRE is going to be completely different than the ASVAB. Yeah. Like it's just got a different metric. You know, they're checking different skills. So it's a complete, I mean, but there is a similarity, right? That's multiple choice as well. Is it timed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how did you study? How did you study for the GRE? Or what did you feel was most effective?
What was most effective? I think just identifying areas of weakness, right? Mm-hmm. And then working on those. I mean, like things like building vocabulary, right? Vocabulary gets tested over and over again. It's the same words. You know, it's a list of 300 words. Most of them you've never seen before and never will use again later. But if you can memorize that list, you know, and in the month before the test, you can forget all those words afterward, get a better score, you know?
Yeah. No, I think that's what people do. I think it's honestly all you can do. It's your only option.
Right. And it's not fun. You know, it's not fun. But yeah, just understanding, I don't know, understanding it as a game and not dreading it. I those kind of tests, I mean, I'm not as bad as probably some, like, as it could possibly get, but I still dread taking, you know, the anxiety. I think it's just getting in the mental space where you're no longer anxious, but feeling prepared and like you've invested the time. And that makes a world of difference when you walk in on test day, you know, and you're like, I've got this versus, you know, like,
we'll see how this goes.
We'll see how this goes. You know, that's okay if that happens, but I'd have a hard time believing that, you know, you put in your 100 hours, 200, whatever hours it is studying for this thing. I imagine, you know, that's a really good feeling. Confidence that you have when you walk in test day. Excited, you know, versus anxious and scared.
Yeah. No, I've read a lot of like self-help books, and a lot of it says, you know, anxiety and excitement are the same parasympathetic nervous systems. Like it's the same, you know, your stomach feels the same as when you're scared as when you're really excited.
It's just a difference of outlook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a perspective shift. And mm-hmm. A lot of like law of attraction stuff too will say that, like, oh, you know, if you think you're going to do very well, you're going to do very well. And if you come in with that, you know, mentality of I've studied this so many times, I know exactly what's coming next. Some people say it's more the mentality than the study that actually puts you through, that'll actually put you to over the top of what you were trying to achieve. So yeah, it's some interesting stuff. What are you studying now? Like what's your school schedule like for you?
It's pretty, I consider myself at this point pretty fortunate. I struggled through to get to where I'm at, but now it's pretty passion. You know, I don't really do something unless, yeah. And I see that around me. I don't really do something unless it has some kind of significance for me or it's something that I'm excited about, which is, you know, to get to that point, it's just such a, you know, I try to reflect every day how incredible that is to be able to, you know, like very rarely in life do you get opportunities where, you know, you're in charge and determining, you know, where you've been and what's next, but it's not easy getting to this level, you know? And so I guess for students out there who are working on getting to this next level, you know, it's, there's like a level of allowance and knowing that, you know, sometimes the most direct line is not the one that, you know, the line that you see most immediately in front of yourself is not the one you're going to end up taking, you know? And so, you know, it might take multiple attempts And really what that comes down to is the story that you're telling yourself, you know? And if you get defeated on the first attempt, then that's your story, you know? But if you come back on the second and you're still there on the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth, then when it comes around, and it will come around on the sixth time, you know, you worked for it, you know, and you might see what's great about situations like this. I, this is like a level of belief, but like, what's great about situations like this is you see yourselves changing in them, right? And so it comes with like an admission of, you know, trying to get from point A to point B, which is what you should be doing always, right? But, you know, when failure becomes part of the process, and you remain committed, it's pretty incredible. I have a lot of faith in like stories that end up that way. You know, I don't really, especially, yeah, if you're looking at working with Mickey here, you know, if you can, it's commitment that's like the key, right? And A to B might not necessarily, you know, if you see everyone else in your life going A to B, it might be a time. I don't know. I'm just not an A to B kind of person. So,
well, no, neither of us are.
Not what's going on. So,
no, I think, and this happens in the military too, but you and I both joined the Peace Corps, and, you know, we know that in the Peace Corps, you have these expectations of what it's going to be like when you get to Morocco or when you get to your site, you know, even getting to the airport, you have a vision of what it's going to look like.
Right.
And none of those visions line up at all. Like, none, this, no
the
part.
The sooner
of it.
You can let go of those illusions, the better off you're doing in terms of meeting reality. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that was especially true. That was especially true at basic training. And that was especially true once we got into site, you know, in Peace Corps.
Transferable skills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, yeah. I think it's a matter of like, you know, you understand where your commitments are. You know, and just instead of focusing on the like, I need this test score, right? It's one step after the next, you know. It's you kind of let go of that, you know, you know where you want your score to be long term, but like, you know, you kind of like, you meet the day to day is.
Yeah. No, you know, so the score you need is just a detail, right? If you fail this test, you know you're going to take the next one. If you come up short a week from now, you know you're going to make up for it. And we're not talking about putting it off, right? We're not talking about forgetting to study for 6 weeks because you're procrastinating. That's not what we're talking about at all. We're talking about chasing the failure and failing well, right? So failing forward is what they call it. If you go for the best possible score and you still follow yourself short, you don't even consider that giving up mentality. And you keep going for it. Yeah, I think that's very valuable. And I believe it. I mean, I've seen your journey to get where you are now. You know, there's been a lot of ups and downs on your road. And now you feel like, I heard you say it, you feel like you're doing your passion, right? Everything that you put your time into is in the direction of where you see yourself going in the future.
Right.
Did you want to get into that? What's the passion that you're going for? Like, what's your objective nowadays?
I mean, I'm a lifetime educator, Mickey. So whether it's ASVAB or anything else, you know, it's being in a classroom and learning that is really, it's important to me, you know? And I think when I was last with you and we were working together, I hadn't touched Arabic in a year. And of course that comes with the demands of, you know, like doing all this stuff and COVID, and it was a really stressful year. But, you know, one of the things that amazed me the most about that year was, despite being a first year teacher, despite being returned from Africa, you know, I got the State Department flew me home and all that. And it's like, you know, this wasn't my plan. No one planned anything, you know, that year. Despite all that, you know, I just knew that's where, you know, I knew that's where there was like positive feedback in terms of working with students. So I just really like learning. And I think that became pretty transparent that year. And, unfortunately, I didn't touch Arabic. So, you know, after our experience in the Peace Corps, we were learning and speaking and living in Arabic every single day and kind of going in with, you know, that being a goal of mine. And then doing my master's afterwards with Arabic stuff, not using that was a little frightening. So at the end of that year, I decided I was kind of, you know, I was losing it. You know, I was like, this used to be important to me, but life and like demands and, you know, the craziness of that year kind of got in the way of, I didn't touch Arabic at all, not once, didn't open a single book. And that scared me. So when I realized that, you know, 8 months, 10 months, 12 months had gone by. And a lot of that time I was with you. And I hadn't done the plan. I hadn't, you know, I decided to go back to where I was originally. So I returned to doing Arabic stuff in West Africa for 2.5 years, 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, while doing that, you know, that wasn't easy. And life was, by U.S. standards, very difficult there, you know, even by Peace Corps standards, you know, very difficult. And I don't think that would have been possible without Peace Corps. After those 3 years, here we are now, you know, and there were times during those 3 years where I really doubted whether or not I would make it to the goal. And yeah, I, you know, for people out there who have those thoughts, they're all part of the process, you know, and it's not even like we're not talking like a progressive, like teleology of like, oh, you have those dark thoughts, but they're going to get you to the end. I think those dark thoughts are genitive, you know, like it's really, those are the important ones. And if you're really struggling with, you know, goal setting or commitment, or life's throwing something at you that you just don't see happening, or, you know, is taking more than you have to give, that's okay, you know? And, you know, just accepting that, you know, and like not necessarily knowing that a result, I don't know, this is getting increasingly abstract, but it really was, that was the reality for me, you know.
Yeah,
in Africa's poor, one of Africa's poorest countries on like $7 a day, you know, at year three you ask yourself, what the hell are, what am I doing anymore? And so it may or may not work out, you know, at year three it may or may not work out, but you tried, you know. And I think there was no doubt in my mind that I hadn't tried, you know. And that's really what it comes down to is, you know, it's easy to let stuff go that's not important to you, but it's sometimes more important to hold on to what seems impossible. So, you know, and it worked out. So, I mean, I shake my head frequently and regularly in terms of, you know, my day-to-day life here is just not even 8 months ago possible. So, yeah, you know.
Well, yeah,
maybe that resonates with you. I mean, I feel like a lot of this is like Peace Corps mentality, Mickey. I think there's like this, like, I think Peace Corps was very instructive in terms of teaching a language that was,
yeah,
something like this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Outside of Arabic, it's a different language, right? It's like the language of grit, of there's going to be bad days, you know? Definitely, yeah. Like the key language, key
and that carries through in military service. You see that as kind of like structurally present in the way that, yeah,
absolutely,
yeah
100%. I mean, the point of basic training is to make sure that people are miserable, right? Like, you have adults trying to make sure that everybody there is having a bad time, right? And like freaking out and scared and worried and anxious and tired, right? So it's built to really kind of test your mettle like that. And Peace Corps, I don't know that it was built, you know, I think it was a bug, not a feature. It wasn't.
No, it's a feature.
I mean,
I come back, Mickey, I come back. If someone gives me enough time to talk about Peace Corps, it's like, it was you that said, like, what was it, like, you know, you're sold up front. It's like this like romantic picture of like toughest job you'll ever love, right? At the time that you're applying. And I think at the end of it, you were like longest vacation you'll ever hate, right?
Yep.
That's the time. I'll talk about that because that's what it is. You know, I mean, testing your level, it's like it happens on, it's protracted, you know, it's not just like basic training is how long?
6 weeks, 6 weeks, and then AIT after that.
Yeah. 27 months in a foreign country where no one speaks your language or understands. 27 months.
That's a,
it's the same. It is the same thing, but it's more protracted. You know, it just like lasts for a longer period of time, which drives you even more.
Yeah.
Bananas. At times, like bananas. Yeah.
Where absolutely bananas.
You're like, I remember, Mickey, I remember you giving you phone calls, you know, halfway through. I'm like,
oh,
2 weeks, I'm not in a good mental place, you know, and you're like, me too. You
know? Yeah, no, I mean, I think we were at that age too, because a lot of people join the military at the age that we joined Peace Corps. And I think we were at that age where this was going to be the hardest thing we ever did. Like, we almost decided that. And
going into it.
Right. Yeah,
there's an element of challenge, right?
Yeah, exactly. You're relishing the challenge when you're boarding the freaking plane, of course. But right. When it's your third day of staying inside of your house and like not wanting to exit for even milk, right? Like, you don't even want to go outside to get right. bread because you're just so sick of being where you are. That's where the challenge really gets to you. And it is the hardest thing you ever do. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do. I mean, I can't imagine for you going back, right? I remember seeing people who were extending in their Peace Corps time thinking, wow, you know, it's incredible. Absolutely incredible that they, whether it's a question of they feel that they're getting out of it or they feel like they're giving out of it, either of those are completely just admirable, right? The fact that they can continue to push on and do more Peace Corps time. Because it isn't, you know, it isn't impossible, especially now looking back. We romanticize everything you look back on. It looks beautiful. It's like, wow, that was the most amazing time of my life. I wish it could have lasted forever. But going through it, it was a completely, completely different story. So,
it was.
No, that's wild.
It's great. Yeah. Well, it's great. I mean, it's great, but like when you talk about it too, there's also like a level of commitment, right?
Absolutely.
And you find yourselves when you, I don't know, commitment can be a really scary thing because you find yourself like learning things, right? Like learning skill sets. And I'm sure this transfers to like, you know, service.
Yeah.
You know, you're part of a larger organization. I mean, anyone, even in your working life, you know, you find these kinds of things, but like you learn a skill set and then you find yourself committed to that skill set, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that was so critical. And going back the second time, like you were talking about, it's like, really, I mean, it's just so procedural. It ends up being, you know, it's like you do one thing and then it gives you the skill set to do the next thing, you know, which is the new horizon, right? You know, it's like this new commitment. You're like, oh, now I got this. And like, honestly, I'm not sure if I got, I don't know. I'm not sure if I like got the Peace Corps or whatever, but like the skills that we learned were absolutely invaluable. And I saw in my time in Mauritania, I had other Americans come visit me. And the joke for me was like, I give them 2 weeks. You know? And sometimes it was 3 days, you know? No one, because we developed that critical skill set, I just didn't see, like, people couldn't accept the, you know, like, I don't know. You like learn to draw boundaries and like assess risk and all that stuff that we were doing when you're living in that kind of situation. And if you don't have those skills and you jump into something that's that in it, as intense as the country I was living in was, it's overwhelming, you know? It's like, it's too much, you know, all at once. And it's no one's fault, but Yeah. There's something to be said about, you know, like having developed, having suffered, you know, whether it's basic training or whatever's next, you know, it's like, you know, the way that you presented it was like, you know, like it's the drill sergeants are there to make it terrible, right? And when you hear that, you're like, that sounds terrible. You know, like, why would anyone make something terrible for another human being? But you realize at the end, what you get is a skill set, right?
Right.
And that's what's being, I mean, taught, if you wanted to say it, but like, that's what everyone shares in common. And the idea is that you take that, you know, you take that skill set and you learn to apply it to similar structural situations and set new horizons for yourself, right? And then learn how to. So for instance, like when I got to Mauritania, I had like 6 months to a year where this wonderful network of Peace Corps volunteers like you, right? Mm-hmm. People I could call on the phone or relate to in terms of a shared, you know, 24 months inside.
Yeah, 24 months inside, 3 months of training. Yep.
Right. So 2 years in sight, you know, I could give you a call anytime and ask you how you were doing in your site and we could talk, you know, and you and I ended up having a lot of common in terms of the hand that we were dealt in.
Yeah.
More so than other people. And yeah. That was taken away from me. So I found myself in a similar situation, probably even less developed, and I didn't have anyone to call.
Right.
And that was the new challenge in Horizon was I went through, you know, it's tangible. Like I went through 6 to 12 months of, you know, losing English almost entirely because there was no one there to speak English with me anymore. You know, I was living in almost complete immersion culturally and linguistically. And that was really difficult because I think I went into it with this idea of like, you know, like I had done Peace Corps with you and it was like now time to do this thing should be similar, quote unquote. Right. It wasn't, you know, I mean, it was in some ways, you know, like those skills that we developed, you know, that were taught and the experiences that you had that were absolutely foundational were definitely transferable. And I saw people who struggled despite being American in similar situations. But it presented an entirely new set of challenges, which is really kind of fun, you know? I mean, I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of interesting to actually ask now, like, at what level will that kind of, you know, challenge stop? But, you know, for someone who's looking for a change, for instance, you know, like trying to, I keep trying to relate this back to ISVAP, you know? It's like, for someone who's looking for a change, you know, like, just changing, you know, committing to something, even to the point that you're like, you don't have what it takes to get to the end quite yet, but you can do it and you know you can do it. Once you get to the end, it's exciting to me personally to know that there will be new, you have learned something, and hopefully you can take what you've learned and apply it to
the next challenge.
Yeah. And see, I mean, and like, 4 years of Mauritania wasn't fun,
right?
You know, like that first 12 months that I'm describing right now was absolutely terrible. It was 130 degrees every day. We had no electricity. I didn't have a refrigerator in the house that I lived in. No electricity, no water inside.
Yeah,
that kind of situation. You know, it was like really hard. But then you realize you can do it. You hit a baseline where the things that bothered you. I mean, it's almost kind of like a testament to like how adaptable you can be. But like.
Well, and the killer is you see people around you, right? And they're just living in that same situation.
Like you've been doing it forever. Thing. Yeah, you're sweating and they're like, oh. Doesn't even bother them.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's amazing.
No, I mean, and just for context, folks, like Clay, it was tough. We tried doing Dungeons & Dragons and it was bad. He'd have to go to a place to get Wi-Fi. And when after traveling for hours, the Wi-Fi would be so bad.
Shitty.
We wouldn't even hear him. We wouldn't even hear, you know, what his dice rolls were or anything like that. And we were the friends that had been through Peace Corps together. And so we were the ones who he could relate to.
Who knew? Yeah.
But he couldn't even talk to us other than like one syllable at a time separated over the course of 5 minutes. It was, his Wi-Fi was atrocious. But, I mean, that's the beauty of where you are now, right? Because now you have this purpose-driven mindset. And like, I remember you telling me about people saying, oh, should you go to this school? Should you even consider it? And you knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that this is where you were supposed to be. You could tell anybody who would be a naysayer, anybody who would say, hey, I don't know if this is such a good idea for you. You can say, well, I'll tell you where I've been and I'll tell you where I'm going. And you knew with that vindication, that extreme knowing, that you were on the path that you want. And it sounds like you still are. You still have that mentality of I am purpose driven. I'm chasing passions. I got passion projects. That's my life now. And I think everyone should be so lucky. I think everybody wants that, you know, but so many of us have completely, like, we feel like we lost it, right? We've completely lost our passion. We've lost our goals. But because of the valleys that you've been in, you can chase new peaks, right? You can chase new mountaintops knowing that that's where you're going.
Yeah, but like the contrast is like, you know, I could be where I'm at right now, you know, and I've been a straight A student, which I'm not, you know, or like, you know, have like perfect test scores, you know, which I don't have, or even good test scores, which I don't have, you know, and when that's the case, you don't see things the same way, you know, like there's a critical difference of perspective, right?
Mm-hmm. Paradigm shift. I mean, for sure.
Yeah. And not a day goes by that I'm not grateful. You know? Yeah. And wow. I don't know. That's just, yeah. So.
No, I love it. I love it. Not a day goes by that you're not grateful. I mean, it's great. That's great. I think it's something everybody should strive for sure. So that's great. Is there any final words, anything you want to say to anybody going for their ASVAB, any last things? I think we've covered a lot, so free range.
Any last things? No, Mickey, it's great. I really, yeah, from the moment that you brought me on, I really recognized what was, it was a good fit, you know. It was like, I think you asked me one day, you're like, you know, like, I need a little bit of help teaching a like session tomorrow, you think you could help me out? I was like, sure, Mickey, yeah, I can do that. But the moment that I jumped on, you know, it by far surpassed my expectations in terms of where I was coming from with teaching. Yeah. And zero, yeah, no doubt. It's really for your students out there, and even like prospective students who are looking at, you know, getting more involved with the work that you do. It's just really contagious, you know. It's really cool to kind of create a community of people who are so driven, and have like a shared common goal, and like are even amping. You know, like they're like, I was getting amped. You know, I was like, I was excited for it. You know, and it was like, it was truly contagious. So, yeah, just like deference and a shout out to all the students that you've got, who, you know, like Roger and like the people that, you know, the students you had were just so unique, and like their own like personal motivations and stories and you know, whatever they had going on was just like truly inspirational, especially when you're stuck teaching, you know, 11-year-olds for 8 hours a day who don't want to be there. So just really, yeah, it's a pretty unique thing that you've got going, and I hope that you can keep it going, you know. And really, for students who are out there too, I mean, I'm sure Mickey will say this, but like, I imagine like a big part of the reason that you do the stuff that you do is for them, right? Like, Mickey, yeah. I know that, like, yeah, I think I picked up on that pretty easy or pretty early in the Peace Corps that you're like, pretty easily, you're very like
people pleaser. Well, he's trying not to say people pleaser people.
No, but like, you're really about like forming connections with others, right? And I can't, right? Like that gives you a sense of purpose and value, right? And yeah, so I could, it was immediately recognizable that this was a project that you were working on, and your students, you know, you created this whole curriculum and you were, you know, you'd figured out how the tests work and you were teaching, you know, how to crack the test and how to beat it. But yeah, you could just get the sense of excitement that was immediately recognizable based off of the Mickey I've known for such a long time. So it's great. I encourage it. And if you're out there, you know, thinking about it, it really is, you know, it's probably you that matters even more than this guy right here. So
true that, true that. Awesome. Well, shukran bazef, man. Thank you so much. It's great to have you on. I'll see everybody in the next show.
Remember to be kind to yourself and treat yourself as a learner. Are you considering a career in the military but feeling overwhelmed by the ASVAB exam? Look no further than GammonAllTutors.com for the best ASVAB prep courses. Our courses are designed by experienced instructors to help you master the best sections of the ASVAB exam, including mathematics, English, and general science. We use proven teaching methods and provide extensive practice materials to ensure that you are fully prepared on test day. With GaminolTutors.com, you'll have access to comprehensive study guides, personalized tutoring sessions, and online practice exams. Our courses are available on demand, so you can learn at your own pace and on your own schedule. Don't let the ASVAB exam hold you back from achieving your career goals. Sign up for GaminolTutors.com ASVAB prep courses today and take the first step towards a successful military career.